He makes his presence felt and walks with it.
He makes his present felt. I mean, sure, that's one way to verify things, I guess.
Do you feel my presence?
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be the new line on the subway.
That's the delivery man. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Let's go.
All right, so Katie's going to kick off today with some fresh listener mail.
Oh, yes, we have a listener mail from Shay B.
Shay B, I like it.
Yes, Shay B writes to us, "First, I want to let you know that I love the show, guys."
Cool.
"But I had to share this..."
Wait a minute. What do you mean, but? It's like I'm enjoying your show. However...
Oh, there's one little thing. Okay. No. She says, "I had to share this penis news with you."
Thank you. Hashtag penis news.
She has the hashtag penis news.
Oh, see,
news.
It's working.
Yes.
I did a search on the internet. No one else is using penis news as a hashtag. I can't believe it.
So we...
We're kicking off penis news.
Yes. I'm starting to realize there's something about Asian women and penises. Can't put my finger on it.
I think I know where this is going. I think Shay and I are on the same wavelength on this one. Is it about a penis festival?
But anyway, enjoy the colorful visuals. And she sent a link from the Huffington Post. It's Japan's annual penis festival.
Yeah, I saw the pictures from it. It's crazy. It's like dick mania.
It is. And so here, each spring, people flock to Kawasaki, Japan to celebrate the Kanemaru Matsuri.
Okay, which is that the name of the festival?
The Festival of the Steel Phallus. That's what it means.
I bet you there's a better, nicer translation for that than the Steel Phallus.
Steel Phallus. That's our other band name.
The Metal Cock. Steel Phallus.
Held this year on April 6th, the festival is a celebration of the penis and fertility.
Okay. Yeah, something wrong with that.
People parade gigantic phallic-shaped, they're portable Shinto shrines down the street during the event.
Okay.
And revelers suck on penis lollipops.
I saw those penis lollipops, and they were generous.
Yeah, right.
They weren't like a little blow pop.
Right, and you buy penis themed memorabilia. You pose with sculptures in the shape of penises.
Wow.
Yes, according to the BBC, the festival is believed to have roots in the 17th century.
Okay, it must have been swinging back then. Oh, I wonder if the first year they did it, people were like, "This is not good. This is not going to last."
Some people had a lot riding on it because during that time, when prostitutes are said to have prayed for protection from STDs.
Oh, okay, so that makes sense.
Yeah, it's like, you know, let's.
Yeah, so let's give penis some props, and then hopefully we won't get anything negative from it or nasty. All right, I like that.
They don't have a lot of doctors. They didn't have the penicillin.
They're just hoping not to get a clap.
So
I would be praying for that as well. That's like a practical prayer.
If I had a march in the street with a popsicle to keep the STD away.
Why not? Yeah. Or a giant Shinto cock.
Sure.
On like a little shrine thing. I saw all the pictures of it, and like typical for like Japanese stuff, everybody is thrilled.
Yeah.
Like they're super happy. Like there's nothing lascivious or dirty or anything about this. It's like everyone is really happy about these penises, you know.
Some amazing pictures of some.
They're very graphic.
Yeah. And then so there's the phallus.
Yeah. They look like, they're like about the size of a banana.
Yeah. And the young women are
cock pops.
Are sucking on the pops.
That's awesome. It looks like there's a candle penises, which is kind of weird. I don't want to say a flaming penis. I know that sounds like an STD situation, like right there.
Exactly. And then we've got some people carrying like a giant, like a pallet
with a huge dick on it.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know what happened to her. Oh, she's got a huge penis in it. Popping around.
It's fantastic. I think it's awesome. And look at everyone looks thrilled. They're like, hey, I got a big penis.
Another one is straddling one like she's taking off on a rocket.
Yeah. Well, no euphemisms here. Like it's not. And there's just there's a picture. This is a giant cock. Here's a pair of glasses with a penis nose.
Yeah. So it's functional.
Yeah. There's no mustache part. So, but maybe accurate. Who knows? Who knows? That's awesome.
Oh, God. So thank you so much, Shay B.
Yeah. I'm going to, since you've already whipped it out, I'm going to continue on.
Well, one other thing I have to mention. Shay, I wrote back to you and said, you know, please send us a mailing address, and we will give you an official Hey You Know It shot glass for your trouble. We really appreciate it.
And if anybody wants to leave us a 5-star review or send us a piece of listener mail, you are also eligible for the aforementioned shot glass.
That's right.
That doesn't come with a penis, unfortunately. Yeah. Maybe that's our next thing.
Oh, no.
Hey, you know it, cock pops. All right, so now that we already have penises out.
Wait, I need a moment to get over that.
Cock pops. With our faces on the side. No, like smiling.
No.
It could work in Japan.
No, yeah, well, we're not in Japan, so it's not happening.
This is on something from Channel 4. In England, apparently, so Neil had the BBC,
mm-hmm.
right, which is like lofty, wonderful masterpiece theater type of programming. Sure. There's this Channel 4 business, and they have a show that is called Dead Famous DNA, where they take DNA from dead famous people, and they
what?
I don't know. I don't get it. But anyway, here's
they get it
hair like a you know, from someone's brush or something like this. But apparently, this is a documentary confirms that Napoleon's penis matched the man's small stature. So he's been dead for 2 centuries now.
Come
and
on.
Apparently
how
they've
they
gotten his penis.
This?
Well, apparently his penis was bequeathed to his daughter by...
What?
After the autopsy.
No!
So you know how they give the body back to the family?
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know much about the French. I don't know much about the French now or 200 years ago. So apparently... the penis was cut off by whoever was doing the autopsy because he just had enough of Napoleon Bonaparte.
Okay.
And then...
And so he went home. Ha, ha, ha. Yes. Everyone. He's, like, drinking beer with his friends at the
Look
pub.
Look what I got.
Look. So guess what I did.
And then...
And they're like, no, you didn't.
The daughter had it. Okay, but I guess she didn't really want it. And then a urologist, a famous French urologist, purchased it in 1977 at an auction for $3,000. The penis.
What?
He bought it. He didn't show it to anybody. He didn't say anything about it.
What are you doing?
He just took it and he put it in his desk. And it was there for a long time. And then apparently...
So you find an old dead penis yes. in your desk drawer. Say, like at a garage sale, you buy a desk and it's got a penis yes. in it. Are you going to be like, I need to know.
Well,
who is that?
They knew it was Napoleon. So apparently...
How?
It's because they have a chain of... You know, a sale for this thing.
Okay.
So it came, like, so he had an autopsy. The angry surgeon cut it off. Napoleon's manservant was like, I'll take that.
I, Dr.
Yes.
Chevalier.
Along with the rest of his body. They gave it to the family.
Right.
And then the daughter, I guess, was like, sold the penis at auction. I guess times are tight. I don't know what to say.
All right.
If that's what family jewels was worth $3,000. So apparently the guy said... they took it for testing, and it was, in fact, his penis, and it was incredibly small.
Oh.
1.5 inches.
Maybe it was...
What?
Exactly.
So much for your witty rejoinder.
I have nothing to say.
1.5 inches long. Maybe that's why he did all what he did. Like, I know he had the Napoleon complex, you know, just being a little guy, but he was literally a little guy.
I'm refraining from, like, looking at my finger and doing the whole... No.
Can you imagine?
I'm doing it anyway.
1.5 inches. I mean, obviously it's shrunken, but still.
Yeah.
Still.
Still they have to...
And the guy said, who did the x-rays and the examination, said, I've seen a lot of penises, from a chihuahua to a sperm whale, but this one is very withered. But how do you get a TV show out of this, is my question. There's a whole program on it, on Napoleon's dick.
Yeah.
Really?
Special, yeah.
So I have to follow up. Someone sent me this on Facebook. This is in going on with small penises. Uh-huh. I think you might have seen this. There's a competition in Bushwick in Brooklyn. It's the smallest penis in Brooklyn pageant.
I know. How would I know about this? Why would I be interested?
They had it last year.
Okay.
Okay, and they're having it again this year. It says here, micro penis owners across Brooklyn were the focus of the first ever Kings County Bar. Not the Bar Association, mm-hmm. There's a bar called Kings County. The smallest penis in Brooklyn pageant.
Okay.
And basically what happens is guys come out in the buff and they parade around with their incredibly tiny penises. And then they crown, if they can, like a winner. It costs $5 to get in. There's judges, there's a swimsuit part of it, like there's like a little talent contest.
Talent? See, for the individual or the penis?
For the individual.
I was going to say, how talented is that?
Not very talented at all. And if a guy does have talents, you don't want to see them on stage, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right,
you don't
right.
want to see his whole repertoire. But apparently it was started by some guy who wanted to promote positive body image.
Hey, you know what? This is fair.
It's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's a tough one. So, gentlemen, it's not too late. Yeah. Small penis contest. How bizarre is that?
Could you imagine leading with that? Like, you're meeting people and it's like...
I have a really small penis.
I know, but like you're sharing your triumphs in life.
I have a BA from Oberlin.
Yeah. I can tap dance.
Yes. I've also traveled around the world. I can swim really well. Oh, and by the way, as a bonus.
Yeah.
I have a Napoleonic penis.
Yeah.
And it's so bizarre. Look at the guy. He's just wearing a box and a sash. That's it.
And it says the delivery man.
Mm-hmm. I know why it says delivery man.
Why?
Put it in the back.
Oh.
Anyway, penis news. Can you believe
that? You know
what? So bizarre.
I don't like beauty pageants. I don't like them. Yeah, me neither.
I don't like beauty pageants at all, but a small penis pageant. And people are doing it willingly. Willingly. All right, what do you got?
I have some advice.
All right, cool. Is it about small penises?
Well, this segment is called Advice on Advice, where we find advice on the internet that's unqualified.
Yeah, and it stinks, and we want to improve upon that advice by giving advice on that advice, hence hashtag Advice on Advice.
Right, right.
So what do you have?
Okay, it says here, it's Dear Amy.
Is this a new, have we seen Amy before?
I think so, okay. But...
Is this the one with the twin who grows out of her back?
No.
Okay.
You know, oh, God, what were those sisters?
I don't know.
What is like, referring to? It was like, an older episode that we had where a... two sisters gave advice. And
yeah,
that their picture was.
It looked like they were. They said they were twins, but the picture looked like they were Siamese twins.
But they were standing like in line.
Yeah.
And just facing the camera, and it looked like one head was growing out of the other's back.
Yeah. And they also do like public appearances,
right.
Which I think might be interesting.
But the one is more into it than the other.
Well, she probably just turns around.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Amy.
Okay, Dear Amy, I went on a date with a girl who has a boyfriend.
Okay.
She initiated the date. She clearly has problems in her relationship, but lives with her boyfriend and is afraid to end it.
What do you mean, but lives with her boyfriend? Like, I feel like there should be a different conjunction there, but go ahead.
He is a trust fund baby.
Okay, well, there you go.
With a big house, and he parties pretty hard.
Mm-hmm. I think her problem is that she's broke as shit and has nowhere to live.
That being said, I have no issues with him.
Okay. So they all know each other? I don't have a problem with him.
Yeah, he's a trust funder, big house, parties hard.
That's where they met, at the party.
The girl constantly hits on me and sends me text messages late at night.
Mm-hmm.
When I asked her if she was still in love with him, she said yes, but she routinely expresses her desire to get out of the relationship.
Mm-hmm. But not the money.
Right. But she loves him.
What?
She says she's in love with him.
Okay.
But she's in love with a trust funder with a big house who parties.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's okay with him.
Yeah. But she's out dating.
Mm-hmm. We live in a small town and everyone knows everyone's business. The girl's boyfriend knows she's interested in me, which leads to awkward moments at our dates.
When we're together, it's really awkward when my girlfriend's boyfriend shows up.
Right.
I know how that is.
Awkward moments at the one bar where everyone congregates on Saturdays. Just one bar.
Don't go there.
Yeah.
Don't these people know about the DL?
My mind tells me to leave her alone.
But my body says...
And give her a stern line, encourage her to either dump him, and we can live happily ever after, or to forget about a romance with me.
Okay, a stern line. What for?
But my instincts. So it's mind, and then
and versus instincts.
Instinct. Okay. Yeah, tells me otherwise. She's beautiful. She's smart and a little bit crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I like.
I don't get that.
I don't get it either. We also live in a small place where action is hard to come by.
Excuse me?
What do you propose? Small town guy.
That's a tough one. I mean, before we get to the advice, I'm assuming that this trust fund guy is fairly, like, even-tempered.
Yeah.
And doesn't really care. Otherwise, I would be nervous.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Because people can get embarrassed. And then when people feel embarrassed or slighted or, you know, shown up in front of a small group of people, like in a small town, they can act out.
Right. And he's also like, probably like, I could take her or leave her. She's smart, beautiful, and a little bit crazy. And that's all.
But there's not a lot of action, remember
there's
that?
There's not a lot of action, but this guy also has a trust fund. And he's just like, look, you know, I'm part of barn.
Yeah.
And everyone likes me.
Okay.
So,
I feel like other people might be dating this girl, too. We should check other columns.
Yeah, I think everybody is kind of evenly getting what they want. Yes. The only one who's got a problem is this guy.
Okay, so let's...
Why don't you just freaking...
Just ride it
suck
out.
It up.
Yeah, dude.
Just get what you can.
Get the sweet, sweet action.
Get what you can on the side. Try not to, you know...
Irk the trust fund kid.
Dear guy, this is the advice.
Okay.
If you want this girl to finally leave her boyfriend, do this. For the next month, stop returning her texts. And if she shows up at your door, to give her your best small-town smile and politely turn her away.
What?
Be the coolest possible version of you. The Clive Owen version.
Really?
Is that what the best, what, coolest that, person you've
come
up with?
When was this written? Like, who are these people?
And why is this?
The Clive Owen version?
Out of all people. That's not like the epitome of cool.
I don't think that's the epitome of cool. The Clive Owen version?
Clive Owen. Such a bizarre reference.
I keep saying Clive Owen because I'm trying to think of a situation in which he's cool.
Yeah, or that anyone would say, you know what, I'm going to Clive Owen.
Yes, I'm all about this Clive Owen. Who's cool now?
I don't know.
How about James Franco? He's a young person?
You know, or who else gets a lot of, like, you can Justin Timberlake?
Yeah, somebody.
I mean, but at least you know what I'm getting at, even if you don't think that he's...
Clive Owen, I just think of those awful BMW commercials. Okay.
All right. So, goes on.
That's our problem with this advice. Clive Owen.
This will drive her crazy. She will force a confrontation with you, during which you will say, I'm not anyone's second choice.
But you are.
Yeah. Once you know what I want, let me know. Until then, I think you should go home to your boyfriend.
Z formation. Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of...
She continues to write. Okay. Bam. Bam.
Drop mic.
You think that advice was worthy of a bam?
No.
Not at all.
And when he delivers it, is he going to be able to deliver it with that kind of oomph? Or is the girl going to be like, okay, that's nice. Now let's go inside and get some action.
Right.
Like, I heard what you have to say. Are we going to do this?
Right. After that, the only thing you'll have to worry about is how to get rid of this kettle of crazy once she landed on your doorstep. Because while hookups might be a glancing bit of fun, crazy feels like forever. Everything is wrong with this advice.
There's nothing good with this advice at all. Oh, Clive Owen was the best part of the advice, baby. Like, that was the highlight of the advice. Clive Owen.
Try to act like...
Be like Clive Owen.
Yeah, or who's the other guy with the big head that we don't...
With that gigantic head?
And he has an ego. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Oh, my God.
That's not even cool either.
There's nothing cool. Christian Bale?
Christian Bale it.
Christian Bale it. You know he's going to be playing Moses?
Yeah, I'm worried about this.
I look forward to just every part of the Bible being made into a film year by year.
I know, so we've got, Russell Crowe as this Noah.
As an angry Noah. And then Christian Bale as the Batman of Moses. Like, I bet you he's going to part the fuck out of that Red Sea. That Red Sea's not going to know what hit it.
Yeah.
He's going to get there, it's already going to be gone.
Yeah. So, for this advice, you got a Christian Bale thing. Number one. Don't use the word bam.
No, do not use the word bam at all.
And you know what? Why don't you just leave well enough alone and get what you can get?
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, it sounds like it's not a bad thing. This other guy's paying for everything and you're getting the goods.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
And what if she's like, you know what? I want to give up this guy and move in with you. Give me some
money.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do with your bank account? You're not a trust
24-hour crazy town. Wow. That's interesting. So I want to follow up on... about maybe like 6 months ago.
Okay.
We talked about the million second quiz. Do you remember
I do remember the million second quiz. I had all kinds of ideas.
There were all kinds of ideas, all kinds of questions. There was all kinds of hype. I don't remember saying anything about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it happened. And basically it was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So the million second quiz was supposed to be a 24-hour, I think it went on for like a week and a half kind of game show of trivia. So you could get on the show. They were supposedly building an hourglass somewhere in Manhattan that no one saw. Like, no one I know ever saw this thing.
Right, no. It was like this just talked about.
People were supposed to be living in it. You could play at home. Mm-hmm. You could play online. Or you could go, like, stand around the city and try and get inside this thing.
Yeah, do a dance interpretation.
Yeah, you could do anything to get onto the show. Right. It was a 10-night, 24-hour show. The winner was this guy. He's a 25-year-old law student from Michigan. He won $2.6 million on this thing.
What?
$2.6 million.
Oh, my God.
It started on September 9th, and the first day, 6.5 million people watched it. But then it dropped down to 3 million because people were like, what are we doing? Every night, fewer and fewer people watched the show. And by the end, they had a two-hour finale, which I never heard of. And 5.4 million people watched it. So they gave away 2.6 million. And only 5.4 million people watched it. Plus, they had to, like, produce the show and put all this stuff together.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way they could have made any money on this.
No.
It's so bizarre. So, the problems with this show were, apparently, it was confusing.
Well,
no one.
I mean, right off the bat, I think that nobody told them that?
No one could figure out what it was. Like, people were watching the show. They couldn't figure out what was going on. It's supposed to be some kind of, like, a Jeopardy-type thing. Some of the questions included, what is the name of Kim Kardashian's cat?
What?
Who was the person who officiated Patrick Stewart's wedding?
Well,
what's the cost of a Super Bowl ticket? And what comic strip character, what did the comic strip character Kathy do in her last comic strip?
It's like, oh, depends, is the answer to all of those questions.
So it came on every single night, and people were supposed to play along with an app at home, but no one could figure out why or what they were supposed to do. They said 1.5 million people played 28 million games. 400,000 people
who
got to be
people?
Line jumpers.
I don't know anybody who was like into
the
it.
One guy got 1,081,000 points. Uh-huh. But then nothing happened.
But what are the points worth? Nothing.
This is what I'm saying.
So you get to like 8,000 points, they automatically disappear.
Nothing happens. Yeah. So you could be a real contestant on the show, or you could play at home and you could jump the line and get into it. Nobody could figure out what it is. And the thing was a complete disaster, and I heard nothing about it. So bizarre. That's a lot of money.
Whoever came up with this, I guess.
Fired.
First of all, is it a Mark Burnett production? Is this?
I have no idea. I couldn't find that out. Why do you say that? Is his stuff janky?
Because he's the one that does all the reality shows.
The quasi-reality show. This was on NBC, and I think it's just never, ever going to happen again. $2.6 million?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I don't get it.
That's the only person who enjoyed it. He's like, remember this guy. Remember this.
And he won by answering a very basic question, apparently, about the Civil War. The million second quiz.
It's really, yeah. Well, you know what? Whoever really thought about came up with this is probably drinking somewhere in the corner.
I would hope so.
In the corner.
Yeah. We're gonna get a hate mail from them. Yeah. Damn you! You gotta rub it in? It's so bizarre. I always wonder about these TV, these phenomenon, and I'm like, I never heard of the show, never saw it. All right, what do you have?
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
I have here, this is from Love Panky. That's my new favorite site.
Love Panky?
Yeah, it's just these.
What does that mean?
It's just lovepanky.com, and it's just different articles on love.
Oh, like Hanky Panky?
Yeah.
I guess, but that was probably already taken.
But you put the love in there.
Okay.
To make it classy.
You put the love. Also, Hanky Panky is an underwear brand that's taken.
Oh,
so they're probably like, yeah. What can we say? Love Panky?
Sure. But Hanky Panky is just a free form expression.
Yeah. .com. It's not free. All
right.
All right, so let's see what Love Panky has to say. Sounds like something you could eat.
How to be a man the way he should really be.
Is there a picture of Clive Owen? Is that Clive Owen?
It's a guy in a tank top with dog tags.
He looks like a gay soldier.
Mirrored sunglasses, a cigar, and a ball cap.
Yeah. Okay.
So I guess back in the 80s, like guinea tea was what you call them. And then it turned into
wife beater.
After all the cops shows came on.
Yeah.
I think
wife beater is not a bad one, though, because that's everybody.
Well, yeah, but it's all like a certain socioeconomic class.
Is it?
Yeah.
In my mind, it was just the dude takes off his shirt.
No.
And then meets his wife.
No, it's usually out on the front lawn or something.
If you have one.
So no more wife beaters, no more guinea teas, just a tank top.
Just a tank top, okay.
Okay, so this is all about, do you have the real man in you?
Well, I said he looked like he enjoyed the company of men.
Well, a real man isn't defined just by his machismo.
Mm-hmm.
Read these 15 traits on how to be a man.
Okay.
The way he really should be.
How should he be? 1, Clive Owen.
Yeah.
I'm stuck on that now. Please, if anyone out there thinks Clive Owen is just everything that a man, is he the best a man could get, Clive Owen?
Yeah. Well, a real man isn't just a smooth talker or a guy who tries to fit in.
Okay.
We all know that.
Okay, yeah.
I
didn't think it was any of those things, but.
he's someone who's always looked up to with awe and respect.
Awe.
Is it awe or awe?
Yeah. Woof.
Yeah. And yes, he definitely knows his way around women, too.
I don't know. He knows his way around women.
It's like,
hey, dude, that's my foot.
You know,
wake up.
I always picture like a guy with a map, and then he's standing by a woman, and he just throws the map down.
I'm imagining like, a guy going towards a woman, is cutting a sharp right, pick and roll, and then going to the next thing.
There are far too many guys out there who exist.
Period. So there are far too many guys out there.
Yeah. Who just exist or constantly worry about ways to be admired and loved. Aw.
Really?
I don't know about that.
Me either.
Is that where the awe came in?
Yeah, that's the awe. It's like shock and awe.
But for a few real men, getting attention and the respect they deserve comes naturally.
Let me tell you, you're not going to get the respect you think you deserve on the A-Train, people. I say it all the time. I'll say it again. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That's the way life is. Whenever I hear people be like, I'm not getting enough respect, I'm like, forget it. Move on. Let the amount of respect that you have be it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, you don't get any more here.
You're not going to get anything here. Not a hey, you know it.
Yeah, you don't need to behave like an alpha male or someone dominating to be a true man in the real sense. You just need to become a better you and a man in all his masculine definition.
Can somebody tell us what that is?
Okay. Now, after...
A real man uses an editor. Who ever heard of a list of 15 things with a preamble? It's like...
It goes on. It just...
You know it does.
How to be a man.
I blame the internet for this. Oh, is there a slideshow?
There's three more paragraphs of the same, like, another variation of all the stuff that I just read.
And are they selling me something? Okay.
So fine, I'll get right down here.
Is this about men? This article, I'm getting the feeling it's about how to be a man. I might find out.
All right.
So a real man is patient. Number one.
Number one, have your principles. This is about who you are. Do you have principles in life? Have you created a few rules and codes of ethics that you believe in?
No, you got to tell us what the rules are. You can't just go around asking people. Do you have a plan? Yeah. Like, no, you tell me what a plan is.
What do you think a plan is?
Yeah.
A man of principle is a guy who clearly defines his belief into right and wrong and sticks to it.
Really? It's like a John Wayne type of situation?
Yeah. Could you ever con someone for money? Would you ever have sex
with him? Yes, I guess. Oh, no, this is according to your code of ethics.
Yeah,
I'm going with abilities. I'm like, I probably could. I might be able to.
Do I have the right stuff to do this?
Yeah.
Okay. Could you con someone for money?
Okay.
Would you ever have sex with a girl if she was too drunk to notice?
Huh? To notice? Wow. Napoleon style. I didn't notice.
You get the idea, right? A man of principles is a guy who has a firm code of conduct. It's not set in stone as life is ever changing.
Okay.
Or how drunk the girl is.
Yeah.
Or how much money in the con. I don't know.
Those are the two things. Would you rape somebody and would you steal someone's money?
Okay. Number two, the same rules apply to him. Most people in the world don't even realize this rule. A real man follows the universal rule that he applies to others and to himself.
What is it? Please tell me.
This
is the rule. Okay.
If he expects someone to apologize because they were late, he should do the same when he's late too.
Oh, is it doing to others?
Yeah.
He could have just said that.
Yeah.
Like, succinct.
Yeah. And it goes on too about.
You know he does. You know he does.
Number three, his word is his word.
Okay.
When a man makes a promise, he stands by it no matter what.
Okay. These are just seems like good being a good person.
Yeah. A real man is chivalrous. A real man knows how to behave with a woman. He treats a wife or girlfriend with love and affection and always behaves. Yeah. He's her pillar. And he caters to her needs and wants.
He does?
All right.
Okay. What was that? Number two?
That's number four.
Number four. Let's give props for that one.
Let's see.
That could have been the whole article.
Yeah. A real man has real dreams.
Okay. A real man has fake. Where's a fake ass man? Has some fake ass dreams. What does that even mean?
Pursue your dreams and aspirations with passion.
Okay.
And hard work. A real man is dedicated to his dreams.
Oh my god, this sounds like an R&B song.
Yeah. No matter how occupied he is, he still makes time for the ones that he loves.
Okay, for his lady.
Right, we need a guitar strumming softly behind us.
All right, dreams.
A real man is sophisticated and well dressed. He's not addicted to cosmetics.
Is that a problem now? Cosmetics? That never really caught on in the U.S. Remember, for a while, they were trying to do, like, foundation for men.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of guys who would like to have nicer skin, but not enough to put something on. But here's the thing. As women, we've been trained how to use all these products.
Right.
You remember when you first started doing makeup?
I remember. I was trained by a professional.
Yeah. My aunt showed me. She was a Mary Kay, makeup consultant.
You used to have to sit down. There's technique involved in the whole thing.
Can you imagine now you're, like, a 35-year-old guy and you got to put on some contouring like some blush. You're going to come out there looking like a harlot.
You're going to get whistled at on the streets. Like, you're not, you know, it's a very subtle thing.
Color.
The shading,
it is,
the shaping.
It is. And you have to get match your skin tone.
Yeah. If you ever watch, like, something like RuPaul's Drag Race, and you see, like, those guys know how to put on makeup. They could probably do a very light day look, you know.
A nice tinted moisturizer.
Yeah, something like that. But the average guy, if guys started wearing makeup, they would just look like just a bunch of hoes.
And they look like ventriloquist dummies.
Yes. I imagine guys would just be like, if I put it on thicker, it's going to be better, right?
Right.
No. No, it's not.
Think about what they do with Axe body spray.
Exactly. Yeah. There's going to be makeup everywhere. You're gonna go to kiss a guy on the cheek, and you're going to come away with a guy's face on the side of your face.
I know.
Whole thing. Yeah. All right. So don't do it. If you know how to use makeup, use it. Otherwise, just leave it.
Yeah. Real man, he's aware of his world. A real man
He's heard about other people.
Yeah, he's not ignorant. He's aware of everything around him. He keeps track of current affairs that matter to him.
Okay, yes.
What about other people? What about
Never heard of him. I always say that when I'm on the subway and people are, I'm like, have you heard about other people? There's a couple of them on here right now. People just look at me. I'm like, no, seriously, have you heard about other people? Get your bag off me.
Yeah, I was on a train this morning, and I had my spot. It was to the side, and a guy was just, like, walking at
me. He's like, I got your spot too, lady.
Like, this is my, like, in a way, like, he wanted to occupy the same spot I was standing in. Like,
did you know this gentleman?
No, but he wanted it. It wasn't aggressive. He just, in his mind, was like, I'm
going to
stand in that spot.
Yeah.
And he expected me, I guess, to kind of move away to make room
for
him.
No way.
I did not.
Stand your ground.
I did stand my ground. I just sat there.
You should have been like, if you're going to be any closer, you'll be wearing my pants, sir. Is that what you want? Do you want these skinny jeans on you?
That's right.
Because you have to fight me for them.
But it was
a real man.
He looked a little like surprised, and he wasn't aggressive, but he looked surprised. Like, people just move out of my way, like that entitled kind of.
Did he smell or something? Like, was there a reason for people to move out of his way?
No, it was just he wanted the spot.
Did he look like Clive Owen?
Not that cool.
He, like, he's a real man. Was a real spot.
Clive Owen. Here's another thing a real man does. He walks tall.
In the saddle?
A real man doesn't hunch or lurk around like a thief.
A real man swashbuckles or sidles over.
Yeah. Swaggers.
Yeah, he's got swagger.
He makes his presence felt and walks with...
He makes his presence felt. I mean, sure, that's one way to verify things, I guess.
Do you feel my presence?
Yeah.
That's going to be the new line Subway.
That's the delivery man.
Yeah. Feel it. I feel your present.
Yeah.
Yeah. Deliver it in
the
bag. I want
to make my present felt. I'm glad we're not men. We'd be in trouble. Hey, ladies.
Oh, God. All right. He walks with grace and confidence. All right.
He does?
Sure.
Okay. Sure. Like a young Gene Kelly, I don't know.
I love Gene Kelly.
But I mean, that's what I think of a graceful man.
I know,
you know, someone who glides. But I don't need to see that in my regular life. Like, if my husband glided over me, I'd be like, "What's going on?"
Right. Like, only Gene Kelly can pull off Gene Kelly. Yeah,
yes.
Guys don't try to be Gene Kelly.
Have your own, stilo.
Yeah, oh, I really like Gene Kelly. Anyway, here's another real man.
Real man.
Let's see. How to look like a man and behave like a real man.
How to look like a man.
If you don't have time to develop all these traits.
Okay. Fake
there's,
it.
There's a few others.
Fake it till you make it.
Guess what? If you want to do it overnight, there's five
really?
Tips.
Because first of all, he just spent all this time telling us all these different things you have to do. Or here's the short law. You know, like, here's the quick version.
Yeah.
If you can't respect a woman, you can't walk tall, you can't put your makeup on right.
Right.
You can't make your presence felt. This is what you do. You get right to it. If you can't Clive Owen it,
right.
This is what you do.
Here's five tips.
Damn. Okay.
Number one is don't giggle.
One. You know what? I hate to be like this, but when Greg and I were on vacation, and we were in a pool or around the pool, and we heard this just horrible giggling, and we look over and it was a dude, and we were both like, "Why does that seem inappropriate?" It was just a high-pitched giggle. And we looked over and the guy, it was just a regular dude. But I was like, that's got to be hard on his partner.
Yeah. All right. You have nothing to feel awkward about. If you think it's funny, it probably is, so laugh out loud. If it's not too funny, just smirk and smile from one corner of your lip.
Huh? What is that?
I'm so glad I'm a girl. Because yes. I can giggle freely.
Oh, we can giggle for the rest of our lives.
I'm a woman. Hopefully. I can giggle.
And we from both sides of our mouth. Yeah. Just like we talk out of both sides. Like, what? Okay.
All right.
Don't giggle.
Number two is grow a mustache.
Huh? A good... Okay, fine.
All right. Number three is have whiskey or scotch on the rocks. It's a man's drink, especially if you like your drink neat or just with a couple of ice cubes.
So basically, you'd be Burt Reynolds.
Right.
And a Smokey and the Bandit.
Yeah, your mustache... Well, wait. Burt Reynolds giggled horribly.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Remember, he did,
yeah,
so...
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Strike one, Burt.
Strike one, yeah. Clive it.
Have an intense eye contact. Real men aren't afraid of eye contact.
Strong
eye contact.
From the Frank Angelini school of don't stare a woman down.
Oh, Frank Angelini was a guest on our show recently. Yeah. Very funny Frank Angelini.
Yeah.
Talking about
staring a woman down.
Yeah. Strong eye contact makes you seem more manly and in control.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And I guess maybe just, a crotchless suit is at number five. So if your presence can't be felt, it can be seen.
Don't indulge in idle talk that benefits the conversation of children.
Huh?
Silence in conversation is perfectly acceptable for a man.
So shut the fuck up, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
And stare people down while you're getting drunk under your mustache.
Don't talk to
children, just brush them aside.
Yeah. Talk to them like
That's
adults.
That's bizarre. I don't know where to... I don't know what to say about that.
Yeah. I
have here a piece of Bateman news.
Oh, nice.
So Jason Bateman is an actor who we say we respect.
Yes, because we're not in love with him. We're not sexually attracted to him.
Not in the least.
No.
But he's in the Academy now. We think his work is decent.
That's
and
right.
We like to report on him. And finally, he's done something. Still haven't seen Bad Words. But reasons to get excited about spring's first annual book con, which is sort of like Comic-Con, but for, wait for it, books.
Oh.
Right. So apparently, 30 Rock creator and Arrested Development star will launch. I didn't know he was one of the creators of 30 Rock.
Okay. You seem like this is shattering your world. What's going on?
So basically, there's going to be Book Con, and a lot of celebrities are going to be there, which is bizarre because they're having a panel about books hosted by Amy Poehler. Has she written the book?
I don't know.
Martin Short, did he write a book?
Sure.
You know, like, why not? R.L. Stein, who writes those children's creepy books. Stan Lee. And then Cassandra Clare. And then there's going to be a panel that Tina Fey and Jason Bateman are on that are going to kick off the Book Con, which is a terrible name, I think. I mean, I love books.
C-O-N.
Book Con. So that's what they said. The 30 Rock creator and Arrested Development star will launch Book Con's festivities by discussing their work in the film. This is where I leave you because it's based on a book.
This is not how BookCon goes. Should be something.
So it's an hour-long event, and there it's also going to feature the author. Thank goodness, right? Someone who's actually done a book.
Just having a nice evening of reading.
Don't read. I think is the point of this thing is that they're trying to like. People are going to go because Tina Fey's going to be there, Amy Poehler's going to be there. They're going to get there and they'll be like, "This is about books." Oh.
No, but
can someone sign a book?
The most exciting thing, listeners, is going to a reading where the authors are up there on stage and they read selected passages from their work and everyone listens.
No, don't you want to go and see the actors who portrayed the people from the book?
Oh, my God.
That's basically what's going to be. So Jason Bateman is going to be there. It's a one-hour event. It says afterwards, a limited number of special ticket holders will get access to an intimate happy hour event. Now, how intimate is this going to be? Jason.
There's nothing intimate about a happy hour.
No, you're not going to be able to get near them. Well, they'll rub elbows. Once again, a strange phrase.
Yeah.
With high-profile authors unnamed. And maybe even enjoy a little evening cheese with Tina Fey.
Why?
Yeah. I have no interest in this whatsoever.
So what is evening cheese?
I have no idea. I guess it's different than the morning or afternoon cheese variety. So that's the Jason Bateman news. Jason Bateman is now speaking about films that are based on
books.
And that's our week in Bateman.
Wow.
Not very interesting. The only other, and it's going to be at Javits, too. No thanks.
Is it at Javits? guess what? I'm going to keep one of my old badges from another trade show that I've been to there. I'm just going like, to put it around my neck.
Can I get a copy of it? Like, you know, if you go to a keg party, I could like lick your hand and stick your hand on my hand. I can sneak in.
Right.
BookCon. I don't know. I do this thing called going to the library or a bookstore. Right. That's my BookCon right there. I don't know.
Or do some research about what books are. And talk to your intelligent friends and get a few ideas.
I do like to go to readings, but yeah, the author should be the person talking about the book.
No, not Jason Bateman.
Not Jason Bateman.
Yes.
All right, so what do you got here? I see a little black flag, a little victimology,
right.
Some whore, and of course, cinema.
Yes, we're reporting to you, listeners. You've got it
live.
Cinema is the band that so generously supplies our intro outro.
If you've enjoyed the intro and outro, then you've enjoyed their music for free.
That's right. And they
now
are
it's time
on
to pay
tour.
The paper.
Right.
Or the guitarists.
Black Flag is going on tour. It's called the Victimology Tour, North America Tour. 2014, and Cinema is opening for them, along with Whore, H-O-R, and they're going to be all over the place, Texas, Arizona, Pennsylvania,
Michigan even,
Quebec, they're going all over. And the tour starts May 15th, it ends on June 28th, and go to cinemaband.com for their tour dates and go see them.
Yeah, I love the poster, there's like, what is it, a panther
and a cougar,
a leopard? Which one's the cougar?
I am.
Oh, it's a picture of Katie on there. If you look closely, it's like a Where's Waldo, though.
That's right.
You got to really focus on it.
All right.
My favorite segment.
This is Jaquetta's favorite segment. It's called Tales from the Campfire, wherein we retell a ghost story, urban legend, a myth.
Folklore, all that
kind
of stuff.
Anything around the digital campfire, so.
Gather around, everyone. I have here, this is the legend of the Bell Witch, not the Blair Witch.
The Bell Witch.
Do you know about this
I've heard of the Bell Witch,
okay. It's actually pretty creepy.
Katie Bell.
Yep. She does her thing. She is the Bell Witch. So it takes place in North Carolina in 1804. There's the Bell family.
That's not that old.
No, not really. John Bell, he's a farmer in North Carolina, along with his wife and children. They settled in Robertson County, Tennessee in 1804. They had a farm of 320 acres.
Okay.
And there's no mention of slaves here. They just must have been some very industrious white people.
That's right.
Mysteriously left out of it.
Yeah. Nothing to see.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah.
In the late summer of 1817, something happened that would change their lives forever. A lot of people in the family began seeing strange-looking animals around the property.
Oh.
Like, I don't know, a cow with a wonky eye. Like a promiscuous, like, sheep. I have no idea.
The hen that walks sideways.
Yeah.
We don't know.
And has like a smirk. Who knows? A hen with lips. And then late one night, they started hearing knocking sounds on the door and the outer walls of the house, but they couldn't find anything anywhere around. Later on, they heard the same noises, but inside the house.
So whatever it is
getting like closer and closer. They heard the sounds of rats gnawing on bedposts. I mean, not so unusual. But then chains being dragged throughout the house, stones being dropped on wooden floors, and then gulping and choking sounds.
Uh-oh.
So whatever this thing is, it was getting stronger. They were terrified, but they didn't want to tell anybody. And then finally they told a neighbor.
Look.
And then the neighbor said, why don't you come over? You know, I'll come over and check it out. I'll spend a couple of nights in your house.
I don't believe you.
I would.
No, I wouldn't either.
Because I would be they're going to kill me.
There's no TV. There's no internet. What else are they going
to
do?
But if you say, hey, Jaquetta, I've been hearing weird stuff in my house, I'd be like, why don't you come over to my house? I'm not coming over to your house.
I'll come over to your house if that happened, because if I had nothing else to do.
Yeah, I guess
so. That's entertaining.
Let the slaves take care of the stuff. Send one of them over to your house. You sleep in there. See, tell me what happened to Massa Katie. So the neighbors came and they stayed with them. And then they also noticed these things happening as well. So they were like, okay, we got a quorum. Let's move forward with this. Like, it's not just us.
We are in agreement.
Yeah.
There's
so
something.
Over time, the thing, whatever it was becoming stronger and stronger. It started to speak.
Do you know what? No.
No, at this point, I would have been like out, right?
Right.
And it says the thing was a witch. From a neighbor named Kate Batts, and that's why they started calling it Kate the Bell Witch.
Okay.
Right? So it seemed that Kate had two reasons for visiting their home. One reason was to kill John Bell.
Good.
Straight up.
Well, you know,
she said she just wanted to kill him. She didn't say why. She just said
he probably had a good reason, honestly.
The reason, no one knows. She didn't say why. The second reason was to stop John's youngest daughter, Betsy, from marrying a certain neighbor boy named Joshua Gardner. That's all. She's going to break it up.
Oh, well.
I would have been like, you know what? Fine. Screw them. See you later. But no, over the next 3 years, Kate tormented the members of the Bells family every single day. Betsy had her hair pulled. Apparently she was.
See, that's when I draw the line. Yes, don't touch my hair.
Betsy had her hair pulled. She was pinched and she got scratched and stuck with pins. And then the pins. Thing just beat her.
No.
Like, then John Bell began suffering from spells of swelling in the throat, and he had a feeling that was a stick in his throat that was being turned back and forth sideways.
That's like
in
not his esophagus.
Not at all. He started to twitch and jerk, and then Kate, this is the evil witch, would blast him with curses and hideous threats during these spells.
Well, you know, good.
As time went on, he got weaker and weaker. So this is like a long, slow, drawn out. Kate, the witch, was becoming really well known, and people started coming by to check her out.
Sure.
She's quite the celebrity.
See, I'm telling you, there's nothing else to do.
She seemed to know quite a bit about the Bible and could tell about people's past and futures, and she could be in two places at the same time, often miles apart from each other. I feel like if you can be in two places at the same time, even if they're right next to each other, that's pretty impressive.
That's nice.
Like, yeah. You don't have to go down the road.
So, actually, people would show up and be like, what did I have for breakfast?
Yeah, or like, what should I do about this?
Oh, okay.
They came for advice.
See? It's not bad. I'm telling you, she knows.
So in December of 1820, finally John Bell kicked it, and it was believed that he was poisoned by the witch. And the witch took full credit for it. She was like, I did it. It was me.
Well, what are you going to, you know, who's going to throw her in jail?
And then
she could be in two places. She could be in jail
later,
and elsewhere.
A year later, in March, then Betsy broke off of the engagement. I guess she got the message with Josh Gardner. So that party was over. Then after that was taken care of, so she came to do two things. Uh-huh. She got those two things, and she said, look, I'll be back in 7 years. Uh-huh. I'm out of here. I'm taking a break. This is
tough.
7 years.
Okay.
Then she returned 7 years later for a couple of weeks, and during that time, she came to the home of John Bell Jr. and just had a few tete-a-tetes with him.
All right.
Foretold his future. Told
him
about his past. Not bad. And then she said, you know what? I'm going to be back in 107 years. And that would have been in 1935.
What was she doing?
She didn't say. She didn't come back. That was it. She was just like, I'm out. Peace. So there, it's interesting because this is actually a historic site in the United States. It's been preserved. The cave is there. Mm-hmm. The house is there. Still no mention of those slaves. they have a Bell Witch Fest.
Okay.
Which I find weird. Because what can you do? But you can also
I'll tell you. You can fortune telling.
Yeah. There's pay rides, probably.
The quizzes of what you did that day.
Dancing.
Can dance.
But all of the tours and everything there that you can do, you have to be 18 or older to do it.
All right.
I find that weird. Why can't you take a kid there? Kids love that kind of stuff.
I know they do, but still, if it's not geared, like, it's too scary.
I guess.
It's too scary.
It didn't look that scary to me. But so that's the Bell Witch.
I like it. Very nice tale.
The Bell Witch tale. Interesting.
Well, you know what? I mean, if people are going to stick around for it, then
why not?
She's going to just
dish
it out.
I mean, I don't, you know, where my position on these things. I don't have any belief in these kind of things. However, if I did start seeing things like this, and it was like, you need to get out of here, I'd be like, you know what? F it.
I'm going.
Where should I go? Like, do I need to just go next door?
Right.
Or do I need to leave the state?
Right.
Because I don't need that in my life.
Right.
And, you know.
And there's no way to get rid of it because you don't even know what to do.
And I feel like if something is if you're dating Joshua Gardner and something is strongly telling you that you need to break up with him, maybe you need to do that.
Right.
You probably dodged a bullet there on that one. So, the Bell Witch situation.
Love
cool.
It. Okay.
That's it. Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
And we'll send you an official Hey You Know It shot glass as a token of our appreciation. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows, and yes, you will receive an official Hey You Know It shot glass as well.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at HeyYouKnowIt.com. Thanks!
And let's just say, I just want to, listeners, I want to say it's a tank top. We no longer say wife beater.
Yeah, what do we say now?
And we don't say guinea tea anymore.
I've never heard that before.
You never heard guinea tea?
No, because I didn't grow up around a lot of people who were openly Italian. I think that's a slur for Italians,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Okay. Because, yeah, they call it Italian people. And I'm part Italian, so I can say this as much as I want.
We used to just call people Italian. I didn't even know any slurs.
No, you would say, like that guinea bastard.
And what does it come from? Because in my mind, it's a chicken. Like a guinea fowl. No?